Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the 33rd Sunday of the year.
We continue today to speak about the four last things. This week it's hell and heaven. Let's start with hell. It's not an easy subject to speak about, not a pleasant subject. I think if priests were left to their own devices, and I include myself in this number, they would not speak of this subject because it is so dark. There is one reason, and one reason only, that we continue to preach about this subject. It's fidelity to Jesus Christ. Because it was Jesus himself who consistently, through his preaching, during the 3 years of his public ministry, reminded his hearers of that broad road that leads to destruction, and the many who travel it, about the sheep and the goats who will be divided, about the irrevocable, eternal nature of hell, about that outer darkness that is spoken of in our gospel today. It is Jesus who gives us more than 80% of all the information that we possess on this subject. He is one who knows, and he gives it for a reason. Hell is a state of the utter absence of God, and therefore utter misery. People, in the end, get what they want. It's only unfortunate that what they want is often incompatible with true joy and true happiness. But the Lord allows them to have what they want. Should it surprise us that hell is a reality, when we already see people in our world, and many people who utterly dispel God from their lives, who want no part with God? Hell is but a fixing and a continuation of this state in all its consequences. Should it surprise us that this reality of hell is taught by Christ and the Church, when we see in so many places in our world a hell created on earth? Today is Remembrance Sunday, and what comes to mind so often when we think of our beloved war dead are those hellish trenches and those diabolical concentration camps and those evil regimes that needed to be toppled in the early and mid-20th century. In the end, it is a matter of free will. If free will did not exist, hell would not exist. If free will did not exist, there would not be a heaven of those who choose to love God and serve him and follow him. Hell is the flip side of that coin of right choice. Love demands that we are free, but it also demands that we can choose the opposite. I remember the story of Padre Pio, one of the great saints of the 20th century, when a man came to him for confession and said, "I don't believe in hell." Padre Pio said, "You'll believe it when you get there." And also the fact that when the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to the children at Fatima, she showed them a vision of hell, nothing like we would do in talking about God, but she did. That's because she cares, because this is a reality, and God wishes, desires no one to be lost, but all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, because he loves us. But he allows us the freedom to choose to be separated from him. In the end, we do get what we want, even if it's incompatible with our happiness. The Lord will continue to work to call us away from such a dark reality. And even the tiniest crack to the last moment of our lives can be penetrated by the Holy Spirit. It is a doctrine of the Church that the Lord supplies sufficient grace for every soul to be saved. In the end, it is only pride that will lead us to hell. But I don't want to dwell on the darkness for too long today. It's not a good place to remain. It is Remembrance Sunday, and our soldiers who died in the wars were often a light in that darkness. They laid down their lives so often in a Christ-like way, and we pray that they may take it up again in resurrection, in glory. We honour them and we pray for them. If you've ever been to one of those military cemeteries on the continent, you will notice how etched onto so many of those war graves are messages of Christian faith and hope. That these soldiers, when they laid down their lives, didn't feel they were heading for annihilation, and they were simply fighting over meaningless political machinations. No, they believed in a broader, in fact, an infinite backdrop of eternity, behind every action that they performed. It was this idea of the infinite value of human life and action that inspired their heroic deeds. And I believe that if any of us are to be authentic, authentic Christians, authentic people, we need to realize this backdrop of eternity. So often we are a mystery to ourselves. We can't work out why we're here by mere observation or through our reason. And so often we cling to this world, to its pleasures, to its powers, to its possessions, because we are like a man drowning, trying to hold on to something. We don't realize this greater vision of eternity to which we're called and in which all our actions really make sense. But when we do get this, when we realize that we're made forever and that the sand of time is not just simply falling through our fingers, then we no longer need to grab on to these passing moments of life, but each one comes loaded with eternity and infinitely precious. So I want to focus a little on heaven, because this is our homeland, O sweet and blessed country. It is for this that we have been made. What will it be like, people say? I have to respond, I don't know, but it will be beautiful beyond our present capacity of imagining. St. Paul says in Scripture, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those who love him. So all our images of heaven will be imperfect. But Scripture does give us some useful images to hold on to that give us a glimpse of what it will be like. A new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, a wedding feast, a banquet, a great city, a new Jerusalem. In fact, when I was at seminary, the favourite hymn of the seminarians was Jerusalem the Golden. It's a hymn all about heaven. I think it's because the seminarians realised that their 40, 50, 60 summers left only really made sense against that backdrop of eternity. It only made sense if they were heading for glory and their lives being poured out for that very reason, for the sake of others. In heaven, of course, there will be great saints and little saints. In the Gospel today we heard of different talents given and how some produce more than others. Well, some saints acquire great glory, like the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then there are little saints, maybe those who got into heaven at the last. They are all completely happy and glorious, but there may be different ranks. Saint Therese of Lisieux put it this way, there are different sized thimbles, and you can fill them all with water. They are all completely full, and yet some are greater than others. In the end, we know that in heaven we will see God face to face. With our minds we will know God, and we will begin to love as he loves. There will be no more divided heart. There will be no more suffering and death. We will see Christ our Lord in his sacred humanity. We will look upon the Blessed Virgin Mary with our eyes. We will see all the friends of God, including those members of our families who have died, marked with the sign of faith and in the love of God. Today we honour the lives of those heroes of war who too set their hearts on their true homeland. May we follow them in the hope of resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for it is I trust in you. Let me be glad and rejoice in your love. My life is in your hands.